In the Studio is sponsored by the U.S. Navy. Navy, let the journey begin. For more information, call 1-800-USA-NAVY.
Doc, you did some time in the cap jail for left channel. Didn't like the way your tan was in the morning.
Excuse me, is this thing on?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
You're welcome.
Guitar up.
One,
turn
two,
that guitar
three.
Up.
Hi, and welcome to In the Studio. I'm Redbeard, bringing you the stories behind the biggest rock and roll albums in history. Today we go in the studio for the 30th anniversary of Jimi Hendrix live at Woodstock.
For many years, the Woodstock album and movie kind of crystallized Jimmy's performance, the Star Spangled Banner and Purple Haze particularly, as the highlight of that original festival. I think for many, many people, their memory of Woodstock and Jimi Hendrix is intertwined. So it's an important release for people. It's a touchstone for people of Jimmy's generation, and I think for young fans, they look at it. It's one of those iconic moments where they're saying, you know, if I get one Jimi Hendrix live album, it's probably going to be live at Woodstock.
It was just a sea of people. By this point, of course, the fences have come down. We must have been 350,000, 400,000 people. And I was standing next to Bill Graham, and he turned to me and said, you know, Eddie, if these kids riot, we're dead. I said, thank you very much, Bill. I'm going back to my truck now. This is Eddie Kramer. I was Jimi Hendrix's engineer and producer. And you're in the studio with Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock.
Until recently, the closest I ever came to the musical genius of Jimi Hendrix was in a converted cornfield in Northwest Ohio. No, Hendrix wasn't actually there, but I sure was. Sitting in a high school buddy's car at a drive-in movie theater. And up there on the silver screen, a couple of years after the actual original Woodstock Peace and Music Festival occurred in mid-August 1969, was a film of the colorfully adorned Jimi Hendrix performing the Star-Spangled Banner as the sun rose over the crowd on the final day at Woodstock. The visual image and the sonic bombast of the brief film appearance is permanently etched in rock folklore. But it turns out there was more. Much more, never released until now. To mark the 30th anniversary of Jimi Hendrix headlining the original Woodstock Festival, his complete 140-minute set is now available. Hendrix biographer John McDermott, author of two Hendrix books, sets the stage.
Well, by the spring and summer of 1969, the original three-piece Jimi Hendrix experience, which was Jimmy, Mitch Mitchell on drums, and Noel Redding as the bassist, they're probably the one of the biggest acts in the world. They certainly were the highest grossing act as a concert attraction, particularly in the United States. They're one of the first groups who were able to sell out sports arenas and headline major festivals. And I think that 3 years of intense touring wore apart the unity that had been there when they launched the band in October 66. You know, the Jimi Hendrix Experience was not a group of friends who rallied together and, you know, joined a band and, made a pact to be together forever. Chas Chandler brought Jimi Hendrix over to London from Greenwich Village and auditioned what he thought were the best available bass and drummers for Jimmy. So it was a made band, put together band that became a tremendous overnight success. By the time June 69 came around, as successful as they were, I think Noel Redding felt stifled, that he did not have a creative role in the group, and he decided to leave for a group of friends in a band called Fat Mattress, and the experience, as it were, broke up. In June of 69, their last performance was at the Denver Pop Festival. Hendrix then went upstate to New York in the Woodstock town of Shokan, and just wanted to write and refocus. And I think at that point, there were a number of people that came in. Billy Cox was his old friend from the Army and from the Chitlin Circuit. Ultimately, they recruited Larry Lee, a second guitar player who also, like Cox, had played on Stax Sessions and other R&B and blues records from the South. Mitch Mitchell stayed around because, you know, he was part of the experience. Jimmy was introduced to a couple of percussion players, which brought a different type of a flavor to his sound. And they were in that house up there just rehearsing and trying new material. And Jimmy was trying to really get his next musical direction set on course. Well, one gig that had been on the schedule was Woodstock, ironically. You know, he did an appearance on The Tonight Show in that summer and really just it was laying low, but Woodstock was on the docket. And so they ultimately started turning those rehearsals into, you know, serious work. And the Woodstock Festival was their debut.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Jimi Hendrix Experience. We'll be right back.
Originally on the Jimi Hendrix Experience's second album, Axis, Bold as Love, that's a spirited version of Spanish Castle Magic, newly restored from Hendrix's Woodstock appearance. Wisely, the organizers of the Woodstock Festival had the foresight to arrange for the event to be documented on film and the music recorded. Here's Hendrix recording engineer and veteran rock producer, Eddie Kramer.
I was asked to join the film company up at Woodstock and record this festival. I think they picked me because I was in the middle of an album with Jimi Hendrix, and of course they thought that, well, you know, since Jimmy is going to headline, you might as well get the guy who's working with Jimmy and see if he wants to record the whole thing. And that was it. I don't think anybody knew it was going to be more than a gig. I think there was a sense, possibly, of something about to happen. If you look at the political climate, look at what has happened in America in that particular time. I mean, we're in the midst of the Vietnam War, lots of protests, you know, the hippie movement, the flower power, all that sort of thing. This was a sort of a gathering together and a celebration of that. And you kind of got a sense that, well, something's going to happen here, you know, Woodstock, let's get all the kids together and have a big concert. Well, you kind of knew by the names that were being bandied about that, well, this is going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. Might as well film it. Might as well record it.
After original experienced bass player Noel Redding quit in a huff in the June of 69, Hendrix took the opportunity to experiment beyond the restrictions of the three-piece lineup. But Jimmy's old army buddy, Billy Cox, reminds us that Hendrix's management did not encourage Jimmy's new band.
He wanted to get into a little more percussion, rhythm, bluesier, and he was constantly growing. I was listening to him. He was growing and growing and growing. And he felt that the other band could not grow in the areas that he wanted to grow in. So he, you know, he reached out for me. He reached out for Larry Lee, who was one of the greatest guitar players I know of, who helped Jimmy get his theory together. We already had, Mitch Mitchell, who was probably one of the greatest drummers alive today. Then he added percussion to give the rhythmic breathing to the music. And that was the area that he really wanted to go. But however, there were those who says, no, we can't have it this way. You can do this gig, but that's not what it's all about. If it's not broken, don't fix it. So we did the Woodstock, which to me, my opinion is that it's probably one of the greatest gigs that Jimmy ever did.
I wanna take you home.
Originally on the revolutionary Hendrix debut album, Are You Experienced? That's Jimi Hendrix live at Woodstock with Foxy Lady. Up next, find out the conditions under which Hendrix, bass player Billy Cox, and recording engineer Eddie Kramer had to perform. I'm Red Beard, in the studio for the 30th anniversary of Jimi Hendrix live at Woodstock.
Sometimes long-lasting makeup can last longer than you do. Luckily, Biore is on the case. Use the Biore facial cleansing cloth and makeup comes off when you tell it to. Biore cloths have special hydroweave fibers to grab up dirt, oil, and makeup. No rinsing, no water. Just absolutely clean skin. Anytime, any place. And to really clean up, look for Biore facial cleansing cloths at Walgreens and get up to $6 back by mail on Biore products now through August 28th. Biore. Clean. Honest.
It's Mark. Leave a message.
Mark, remember we were talking about jobs? Well, I found this cool website, www.navyjobs.com. The Navy has over 50,000 job openings, and they'll train us in a high-tech field like nuclear technology or aviation electronics. I even found out about getting a sign-on bonus and up to $40,000 for college. Remember, navyjobs.com. Anyway, give me a call.
Visit the Navy online at navyjobs.com or call 1-800-USA-NAVY. Navy, let the journey begin. Paid for by the U.S. Navy.
I'm Troy Noel. I was married to Brad Noel, the singer of Sublime. Brad died of a heroin overdose. Jake's been robbed of having a wonderful person to be his father. Educate yourself. Heroin kills, period. We miss him, and we'll miss him forever, and don't let anyone miss you.
A message from ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
There once lived a rock star named Thorax who mooched constantly from his manager, Trixie.
Who wants your milkshake, Trix?
No, Thorax.
Well, that pie.
Yours.
Oh, how about your pack of Juicy Fruit?
But when it came to the sweet, tempting Juicy Fruit, Thorax's mooching crossed the line.
Yeah, I want my Juicy Fruit, so miss off!
Trixie advised, adding,
get your own, beggar boy!
And so Thorax learned Juicy Fruit is the gotta-have-sweet gum. And when you gotta-have sweet, you gotta-have your own pack of Juicy Fruit.
Yeah.
You are listening to the SFX Radio Network.